for having me today on such a special day. Mother's Day is very special to all of us, I know, but I really do appreciate you inviting me here today. I really am honored to be here. Sorry, sending love from Stan and everybody at Glenridge. He would love to be here, but he's holding the fort that side. So love from everybody there. So let me dive straight in today. Today, when I was preparing and planning for today, the title of my preach is called Latent Potential. Now, I know latent is a bit of a big word. Well, it was when I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, Lord, that's quite an interesting word. And the thought that came to mind was a school report. Now, for some of us, it's been a long time, since longer than others, than for being at school. For maybe some, it's not so long. But some of us might have seen the words, or maybe even on your children's school report, you might have seen the word not living up to their potential, or maybe unmet potential, or not realizing or reaching your potential. And I just felt somebody might be sitting with those words that have been spoken over your life, and that's where I thought of that word latent, and you'll understand a little bit more when I carry on speaking. And for many of us, maybe mothers, maybe some of you have got your flowers already today. Maybe some of us are hoping we're going to get flowers. Maybe some of you are going to take flowers to your mom. But we all love flowers. I mean, I don't know what lady doesn't love flowers. I love flowers. Anyway, my friend once arrived at my house with this very strange-looking flower for me. And I remember thinking, oh, I wasn't quite sure how to react. I said thank you, because that's what you're supposed to say. But I didn't know how to thank her. I remember thinking, this is the strangest-looking thing I've ever received. Pammy, hello, my friend here. I remember thinking, thank you. And I thought, that's strange. She knows I love flowers. Why is she giving me this stem of something? And I'm a bit of a, like, I didn't really have faith. I was like, oh, what is that? She said, I promise you, you will be rewarded. And I was like, really? Okay. I didn't really believe her. I was like, okay, thanks so much. But I didn't really have faith that there was going to be much that was going to come from this strange-looking thing. But latent means that something exists, but it's currently hidden. So what do you see when you look at this? Not much, just a very strange-looking stem. Latent means something that is not developed yet. It's hidden. It is not visible. It's lying dormant. It's concealed. It's underlying. It's going to manifest later. Often it's used to describe things that are present but not actively producing something yet. I also felt like sometimes I was chatting to a gentleman in halfway between the services, and he said, sometimes even schools can speak over our children, that they can not see things in our kids and say words over them, and it can be quite damaging to a child. No, there's no potential in your child. And the school can just see this. But you know, our Father sees so much more. Hallelujah. And maybe the next slide up there, this is what this beautiful flower becomes. It's called an amaryllis. And let me tell you, believe me, I had to phone her. It becomes quite magnificent. The next slide will show you what it really looks like. It's a red one. This is actually a pink one. It becomes the most spectacular flower you've ever seen. And I didn't have faith that it would become that, because this is what it looked like. I was like, oh my word, it's quite revolting. But, and then when it finishes flowering, and you don't just get one flower from this, you get almost four or five buds. It's phenomenal. And then when it finishes flowering, you can plant it in your garden, and then next year you get the same magnificent flowers. It's really quite spectacular, believe me, I promise you. And I was just feeling like a story that made me feel like the same faith, lack of faith, was the story written in, if you've got your Bible with you, you can turn to Numbers 13. We're going to read just a few. It's quite a long piece of scripture, so I'm not going to read it for time's sake. But I think most of us sitting here would know the story. When the Lord speaks to Moses and he says to Moses, send, this is Numbers 13, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. And he chooses 10 men. You remember that story? It's an amazing story. I think we all love that story. And we're like, oh, yes. I'm Caleb and Joshua. And I remember often when I read that story, we just skip over the people that they choose. And it says here, so the Lord commanded Moses to choose from the ancestral tribes, send one of each of the leaders. And when I read that again, when I was preparing, I was like, wow, I've sort of skipped over that in the past. That actually those 10 men that were sent, each one of them was a leader from one of those tribes. You know those 8 guys that came back with a bad report? They were not just some arbitrary guys. They were the leaders of those tribes. They were the top guys. They weren't just obs. They were like, you would have wanted to be one of them. You were one of the top guys from Reuben, one of the top guys. They were main guys. They were the guys you would have wanted to be, the top leaders. But we only ever think, oh no, Caleb and Joshua, those are the guys. So I thought, shame. I mean, I actually started feeling a bit sorry for those other 8. But that's just sort of sad. So they send them out to that place and he says to them, go through to the promised land and see what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak. I'm skipping down to verse 18. What type of land they live in, is it good or bad? What are the towns like that they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? What are the trees like? Bring back some of the fruit. And then verse 21, so they went up and explored the land. In verse 23, when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. 2 of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. You remember that story? The grapes were so large, 2 men had to carry them back. So it was obviously very fruitful. So obviously Moses is trying to find, is this going to be a good place to live? We're checking out the land. Is it going to be, can we be fruitful in there? Are we going to be able to live there? And then in verse 26, so they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community, and they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And they show them the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people, because they go on to say how the people that are in that land are too big. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. The land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw were of a great size. Chapter 14, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. And all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And later on in chapter 14, Caleb and Joshua carry on to say, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. You carry on to read how they go back and forward and how the 8 spies are continually saying, we're too small, we cannot do it. And Caleb and Joshua are saying, we can do it, God is with us. So we've got 10 men that went in, we've got 8 spies that come back and say, we can't. And we've got 2 spies that come back and say, God is with us, we can. A couple of points about the story. As I said, These are not bad guys. They're guys that come back. They're good guys. But friends, often when we are walking into something that God has planned for us, when you're walking into the promises that God has for you, you need to be aware that there are going to be people that are going to be out there to discourage you. And you need to be on your guard. Are you going to let fear overcome you, or are you going to let faith guide you? Because the majority of the people who came back were overcome by fear. They couldn't see that the land was exceedingly good and that God was with them. They could only see that the cities were fortified and the people were huge like giants and they were going to be overcome. They couldn't see that actually God was with them and that they could take the land and that the fruit was huge, that they had to be carried by two men. No one was doubting the report. No one was doubting that the men were giants and that the battles were going to be tough, but Caleb and Joshua knew that their God was greater. What happens when you get to that place? When you're walking in something that God has, what do you choose? Do you choose fear or do you choose faith? I think when we get to these places in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, whose voices are loudest in your life? It's easy to choose fear sometimes because it can be overwhelming. Because the facts were true. No one's saying the facts aren't true. Sometimes the things we're facing are big. I'm not saying that they're not big. But the two men who knew that their God was big, they said, our God is bigger, we can take over. We're doing these things. And the thing that makes me even scarier when I read the story, and particularly on Mother's Day, it's about legacy. Because the frightening thing when you continue to read this story is that an entire generation lost out on their inheritance. Because the majority, we all think, oh, this is an amazing story, Caleb and Joshua. No, guys, it's not an amazing story. An entire generation lost their inheritance because they were overcome by fear and they didn't live in faith. What are you going to choose? Are you going to live in faith or are you going to live in fear? Because it's about legacy. And actually, it's about courage. Because courage means you've got to go against the crowd sometimes. Because actually Joshua and Caleb could easily have said, yeah, actually, no, those guys are right. Yeah, actually, they're right. No, it is. The people are too big. It's going to be too tough. But actually, they didn't. They stood by their convictions. And because they stood by their convictions, they were the only two that walked into the promised land out of an entire generation. It was a big call to make. I love this quote about courage. It says, courage shines not in the absence of fear, but in our willingness to move forward even in its presence. The word courage comes from the Latin cor, meaning heart, reminding us that true courage is rooted in love. Love fuels our ability to step into the unknown, calling us to rise to the occasion and act in alignment with our deep convictions. Fear becomes courage when it is guided by love. You ask any mother sitting here today how many times she's been full of fear. But because of her love and her courage, she stepped forward anyway. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. I'm sure they were scared. I'm sure they also saw that the men looked like giants. But they knew that their God was bigger, and so they stepped forward and said, yes, I know all those things are true, but God, we can do it. We can step forward because our God is bigger, and we can still take this land because God is with us. So let's look at a few things that come out of the story that we can apply to our lives today. Delayed obedience does not disqualify you but it does delay the blessing that we could bring to other people. The story connects strongly to how we influence others, especially those that we care for. As I said, an entire generation didn't walk into the inheritance that God had for them because of the disobedience of the spies. So sadly, it didn't matter how brave or courageous Caleb and Joshua were, the report of the other eight made up God's mind and changed their immediate destinies. Friends, for me, that means you better choose your friends wisely. Make sure you're hanging around with the right crowd, because their voices are going to be loud in your life and you're going to have to stand for your convictions. And because Joshua and Caleb stood for what they were convicted about, they did receive their reward and every generation after that. The words we speak over others can build up or tear down. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says that. It can increase or decrease people's inheritance. I know that can be a difficult thing to hear. And as a mother, I have not always got that right. Our little preschool that we oversee, called We Friends at Glenridge, it's in Morningside. They have a very sweet and very, I think, gospel practice that they teach the children from 2 years old. It means that when you say, "I'm sorry," the transaction is not finished until the other party says, "I forgive you." And I was telling everybody that my daughter has held me to that. And boy, has she needed that. Because when she was very small, she used to say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," because she used to drive us all mad. And there were times when I did not want to say, "I forgive you," because I was mad about something she'd done. And she would shout, "Dad, Mom hasn't said, I forgive you." Oh, and I would be just needing a moment. And Stan would say, "Love, let's remember who's the adult." You know how frustrating that is when you're just needing a moment to be mad. But yes, it was a very easy thing that actually has held us as we've been going through life. And I think even those little preschoolers can each teach us a little thing about, "I'm sorry, I forgive you," even as we get older. Because I think even that's such a beautiful thing that Christ has taught us and what he did and what he went to the cross for us. So even at times when I've messed up and I've said things that I know have not been building them up, I've been very quick to just apologize and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean that." And they've been quick to do the same, because boy, there have been times they've said things that have been hurtful to me too. And we've been quick to apologize and quick to just finish things off and say we're sorry and we forgive each other. I think we realize that the mindset we model and what we believe about ourselves, it actually doesn't just stay with us. It spills over into the lives that we're nurturing. And actually, this story is just such a perfect example of what that is. So maybe if we can just put up that little last slide about reflections. And maybe today, maybe this funny little flower has spoken to some of us. Maybe people have spoken and not seen the potential that lies in you. I want to remind you that Christ sees the potential in us. That he knows what lies within us. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have potential. In Christ, we have massive potential. And you might not have reached it yet. That's okay. We get to start again. And today might be the day. So if you've believed that you are too small, you're not going to do that from today onwards. Don't you believe you're too small. Christ doesn't see you as small. Christ knows the potential he has inside you. And he knows that he's got massive things for you to do. And maybe it's a challenging question. Who is watching my example? It might not just be in motherhood. It might be in your office space. It might be in your schools. might be some other place in your life. People are watching your example. You get to make a difference. You get to take, maybe change their inheritance, maybe change something in their lives. And it's not too late to choose faith, to step forward and to speak life. That is one of the greatest gifts we have as believers. The world is so quick to break people down. Make sure the things that come out of our lives as believers is life. We get to speak life over people. Make sure what comes out of your mouth is life building and encouraging. And maybe today you just need a little bit of courage. I know things are tough. And I don't know everybody's circumstances. But maybe today you just need a little bit of courage. Maybe we could just stand. And I wish I had one of these strange flowers for every single person here today. But I know when I was speaking about this flower, that there was somebody who just thought, that is me. And whoever that is, I just want you to come up right now to come and receive this. Don't waste your time. Don't wait. Just come and get it right now. Doesn't have to be a lady. Can be a man. Come and get it right now. Amen. And I just want us to take a moment and just maybe just do something physical. Put your hand on your heart if you feel like any of those points are speaking to you. And if I can just pray. Father, I just thank you for just the fact that we are all on a journey. I thank you, Lord, that as we cross over into that promised land of our lives, that you would give us courage today. That you would not let us walk in smallness of our lives, Lord. That you would help us walk in the potential that we all have, Lord. You would help us lead big lives, Lord Jesus, for you. You would help us count for you, Lord. And you would give us the amount of courage we need to step into the things that you have for us. Don't let us live small lives, Lord God. Because in you, when we have the greatest person living inside of us, we cannot live small lives. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. Help us live the lives that you have designed and destined for us. In your precious name. Amen.